Today on Wings, human displacement and homelessness keep growing and growing. In a parable of uncertain attribution, there's a community struggling to save babies who float downriver in increasing numbers. And someone says, let's find out who's putting them in there. Brazilian environmentalist and organizer Magda Renner made it her duty to find out. From the Wings Archive.
Wars have always been followed by harsh periods of poverty, famine, social, cultural, environmental disruption, but nothing is comparable to the devastating impact on all living beings caused by modern warfare.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world. Many of the world's most articulate environmental thinkers gathered at the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet in Miami, Florida, November 8th through 12th, 1991. Among them was Magda Renner, spokesperson on environmental issues for Brazil's National Confederation of Women, and for 17 years, executive president of Gaucho Women's Democratic Action for Friends of the Earth Brazil. She addressed the tribunal on the subject, global homelessness.
As we enter the last decade of the 20th century, global homelessness of millions of people around the world has perhaps become the most striking characteristic of our reality. During my own lifetime, I have seen thousands of refugees from the communist regime, from the Nazi Holocaust, from World War II, the Vietnam War, and from over 100 local armed conflicts during the pretensely four decades of peace, and despite the creation of the United Nations in 1945, the International Forum for Human Rights, and the Guarantee for Security. In 91, the Gulf War created a new wave of refugees, and human pain, cruelty, suffering. In the history of the second millennium, it will be remembered as the gravest ecological disaster ever engendered by man. The UN estimates that there are today over 15 million refugees in Asia, in Africa, in North and in Latin America, in Europe and in Oceania. At least 75% are women and children. In some cases, they reach 90%. Women are the sole head of millions of families, and for being women, they are the most exposed and vulnerable to physical violations. The numbers above refer only to the political refugees. Wars have always been followed by harsh periods of poverty, famine, social, cultural, environmental disruption, but nothing is comparable to the devastating impact on all living beings caused by modern warfare. In the era of intelligent electronic nuclear weapons, even preparing for war in peacetime condemns people to lose or abandon their homes. On a global level, the armed forces are not only the single largest consumers of petroleum and other rare minerals, they are also, and most certainly, the largest polluters on Earth. Production, maintenance, and testing of conventional biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons produce uncontrolled quantities of toxic wastes, and the maneuvering of all the war paraphernalia leaves behind large tracts of dead land. These are the ghostly monuments, the sacrifice zones, created by a global civilization which, during years spent on weapons, every 30 minutes the whole day round, an amount of money equal to the annual budget of the UNEP, the program to safeguard the life-supporting systems of planet Earth. Such is the way leading to global homelessness for humanity as a whole. In 1985, Women Working for a Nuclear Free and Independent Pacific, a group active throughout Britain, organized a speaking tour in Europe for 9 indigenous Pacific women. I quote parts of their testimonies, published in a modest booklet. Why haven't you known? Why haven't you known about nuclear testing by the US, Britain, and France? About jellyfish babies born to women who were exposed to the tests? Why haven't you known about the effects of alien colonial political and military domination of the indigenous people? Why haven't you known about uranium mining and aboriginal land and nuclear waste dumping? One of these women recalls a day she'll never forget. It was in the year 1946 when the Navy official from the US came to the Bikini Island and he told the Chief Judah, "We are testing these bombs for the good of mankind and to end all world wars." The Chief Judah did not understand English, but the word mankind stuck in his mind because he knew it from the Bible. So the chief gave the permission to the American official. When the Navy official came, it was too late. There were already thousands of soldiers and scientists on the atoll, and hundreds of airplanes and ships in the Bikini Lagoon. They were ready to conduct their tests. The Bikinians had no choice but to leave their islands, and they have never returned. The Navy official did not tell the chief that the Bikinians would not see their home again. Today, Bikini is off limits for 30,000 years. And there are other Pacific islands and other irradiated areas around our globe which are off limits for all times to come. Bikinians who have survived can't escape their remembrances. They suffer from homesickness, from ill health and cancer, and in their bodies they carry the seeds which generate abnormal children. Jellyfish babies have no eyes, no legs, no arms. Women who have nurtured them in their wombs get crazy when they see them. How many share their destiny among the survivors of Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Chernobyl, or Bhopal? In our recent history, we have lived a moment of hope when the Cold War was over and world leaders started speaking of converting arms into plowshares. Then there came the Gulf War to liberate Kuwait, to defend what is right, and to preserve the stability and the security of the Gulf, on which the U.S. vital national interests depend. The words are quoted from Mr. President Bush's address to the nation, March 91. Technology won the war, but it doesn't build peace. To the contrary, nations who can rely on such phenomenal technology arsenals, as we have seen during the Gulf War, will easily be tempted to use them even before exhausting all other possible ways to settle their disputes. If man deserved the domination, Homo sapiens, they arrogantly gave themselves, then they would fight their wars with arrows and bows. They would develop technologies to serve life instead of sowing massive death and disaster. Today there is a new category of homeless people, mainly in third world countries, and even where no wars in the traditional sense were fought. These are the ecological, economic refugees. They are the victims of our model of civilization aimed alone at economic growth. Since mid-century, the global economic product has nearly quintupled. On average, the additional economic output in each of the last four decades has matched that added from the beginning of civilization until 1950. At the same time, fresh water and clean air have become our scarcest resources. In third world countries, the industrialization process promoted by transnational corporations and financially supported by international development aid agencies and national governments has taken to ruthless exploitation of natural resources and has violently contributed to eco and ethnocide, as in the case of the tropical forests and their inhabitants. And this process also has definitely marginated all the poor people from the development process, from the social process, from the access to work. The Green Revolution imposed on third world countries by decisions taken at the FAO in New York and directed by agrochemical transnational corporations, pretending to save our countries from pests, from hunger, from diseases. This revolution has instead created new pests, has eroded the soils, has contaminated all our sources of life, has concentrated land ownership and dislodged thousands of small landowners and rural workers. Now, these same agrochemical TNCs, who also detain the pharmaceutical and the seeds markets, are aggressively promoting their biotechnology and are trying to privatize all germplasm, which is the origin for new cultures and for new medicines. Today, women coming from all sectors of civil society are speaking out. They are confronting government officials and industry managers, and they are fortunately acting on their own. In 1989, when the historical meeting of government officials with Indian communities in Indian territories in Altamira, Brazil, to discuss new hydroelectric dams, it was Tuira, the Kayapo Indian woman, who startled the audience, getting up suddenly and holding a knife at the throat of the president of the National Energy Company. Let's start the revolution. Cried out in despair and anger, when will the white man respect Indian land?
On Wings, this is Brazilian environmentalist and organizer Magda Renner, addressing the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet in November 1991.
In São Paulo, 220 women, heads of families, earning two minimum wages, hunger wages, coordinated a cooperative system of mutual help construction, supported by the National Federation of Women. Working 8 hours on Saturdays and Sundays, They are the architects and masons of their homes. They are giving us an example what women are capable to do. In Rio Grande do Sul, where the soybean plantations for export have emptied the fields and swollen the cities, many rural refugees are now reaping a living out of the urban garbage fields. One of them is Maria da Silva, who is now coordinating the Women's Cooperative for Selected Recyclables, which are sold to the industry. Maria tells her story in a few words. I was 16 when we came to the city because there was no more work for us at the soy plantations. And I was pregnant. And the only way to survive in the city was going to the garbage fields. But the father of my son could not stand it, so he went away. And I don't know where he is today. But I survived. And today I have a job. And my son is 4 years old. And we will soon have a teacher to hold classes in the church. And our cooperative received a small piece of land, and we are planting vegetables. I will have no more children. I went to school for 3 years. It is the best thing in the world. There are innumerable Marias of all colors and races, all cultures and religions, bravely fighting for survival, giving birth, nurturing life, healing wounds, providing for shelter and food, caring for the oldest and the youngest, the disabled and the poor. Women have been the invisible and the unpaid working force underlying the development process in all societies. And yet, the question I ask this audience, and in part I have received already an answer. What has been our role in the political world scenario where the decisions are taken which determine our life and ultimately determine the fate of the earth? Where have we been all the while our sons, our fathers, our husbands, our brothers have been shaping the world, following their own social, political, economic principles and ambitions, overruling humanitarian and ecological imperatives? What brought me here is the hope for women to find the way to influence the decisions to be taken in 1992. Let us clearly formulate our demands to world leaders for women's participation at the decision-making processes. Let us stand up against the abuses of power and keep faithful to the values and principles of equity and solidarity. Let us keep in mind the limits imposed to all human activities by the finitude of our global home and by the immutable laws of nature which rule life on planet Earth. May we live up to our task today. Tomorrow, it will be too late. Thank you.
Magda Renner of Brazil, testifying on global homelessness before the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet. questions were put to Renner by a panel of women judges from India, Guyana, Australia, Sweden, and Kenya, and by members of the audience. Wings excerpts them here.
Thank you very much, Ms. Renner, for that very inspiring presentation. I'll now throw the floor open to the panel of judges who will field questions to her.
Thank you very much for your most interesting testimony. There are already some women, very few, but anyway, some women already in power.
Yes.
And have you any thought or suggestion as to how these women should use their power regarding the issues that you have risen?
You know, when I finished, I said, let us keep in mind the values of equity and solidarity. Let us keep it in mind if we reach any power situation, because it is desolating to realize that those women who have entered this competitive world of men, they have adopted the same mentality of these men. And that is the challenge for us women. Let us try to go into this world, but please let us stay to our own feminine values, those values who have made of us, those values which create the home for people with human warmth and with a heart and with the eyes opening the heart. If we are not capable to do this, to conserve these essentially feminine qualities, then it's no use striking to come into any important political position.
What can we do as a group of women to sensitize governments to the plight of the global homeless?
I think that women and all those volunteers, all those groups who are fighting for environment and development, have an opportunity before 92 and afterwards and during 92. We must be visible when all the dignitaries, the powerful men are coming to Brazil in Rio de Janeiro. We must be there, we must be standing in the streets. We must be crying out at them. We don't, not behaving so well as we always do, just standing there. Yeah, it's true. Just standing, just hearing, and not having the possibility to speak. So if we don't have the possibility to speak during the official meetings, let us stand in the streets where those men have to pass to go into their beautiful cars. And let us make our demonstrations there. That, I would say, is the first thing, because our experience, I have been for 2 years at the NGO World Bank Committee and always behaving very well and writing hundreds of papers and making thousands of suggestions, which then always were considered very enlightening, but nothing happened. But when we went into the streets with our big banners, standing in New York where it was forbidden to stay, and the police came, then it was an affair, and then suddenly all those men started listening to what we were saying. So I do think that there are several different actions to be done.
Judy Smith from Canada. I have a question or an appeal to Magna Renner from Brazil. I came here with the sole purpose of raising concern about the street children in Brazil, particularly because this conference is going to have such an impact on them as the death squads come into place to clean up the streets so that we can come to the conference and get a good impression of the situation. And I know it's a difficult subject to talk about, but it's one we have to address because it's something we can talk to before the conference happens to try to put some public pressure on the governments and to get. I can't see attending a conference when I know people are going to be killed, particularly children.
Mm-hmm. I give one number. In Rio de Janeiro, 300 children were killed only this year. In São Paulo, more than that. And these children reach from 5 to 12 to 15 or 16 years. Many of them are murdered because they know something about the traffic. They are used by those who make the drug traffic. And then they must be murdered because they know the people who make the traffic. There are probably other explanations also for this murdering. The worst is that these young people who don't have any school, who don't have parents, who don't have a home, they live in the streets and they are becoming something that it's not human anymore. They are now ready to kill one another just to steal the tennis shoes one of them is wearing. We think that this is a signal of a civilization that is completely, completely rotten, I would say. And there are, of course, the poverty which never has been like the poverty we have now in Brazil, is of course helping to this procedure.
Brazilian environmentalist and organizer Magda Renner addressed the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet in November 1991. Renner co-founded a women's action group in 1964 that later became Friends of the Earth Brazil and joined Friends of the Earth International. She died in 2016 at nearly 90 years of age. This recording is from the Wings Archive. For a link to the Archive's growing presence online, email wings@wings.org. To watch videos from the World Women's Congress for a Healthy Planet, visit the website gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose latest book is titled The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. The sound logo you heard in this archival program was created for Wings by Maggie Payne.
This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.